Father, we do thank you again this morning for your great love to us in sending your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in our place to pay for our sins to give us eternal life. We thank you for the wonderful relationship that we can have with you and with each other. And we pray as we live and move and have our beings that our lives might center around the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might have you first and foremost in our thinking in every action that we take. As we look at you and your love to us, we continually stand amazed at how you so love. Lord, never let us become presumptuous and indifferent to that love, but that we might respond to you and to a lost world and to each other. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We saw in the fourth chapter of Ephesians that we are to walk worthy of the vocation in which we are called. He gives us quite a bit of instruction there, beginning in the first verse and following, as to how this walk is to be maintained, because walk is consistent or constant. We cannot walk without continuously being moving. Walking is a positive thing. We're to be walking in our vocation. Now, in the passage that we read this morning, he mentions walking again. And the passage that follows the passage that we read this morning, he mentions it also in verse 8. He said, we're to walk as children of light. This is 8, chapter 5, verse 8. Then in verse 15, he says, we're to walk circumspectly or carefully or accurately, not as fools, but as wise. This is, as we have said over and over again, is the word that describes the Christian life. Of all the words that are used in the Word of God, this one is used the most to describe what we are to do as Christians as far as our relationship to God is concerned, and that's the word walk, because it's you can't walk sitting still, you can't walk laying down, you have to be picking them up and putting them down. It's a consistent thing. It's an ongoing thing. It's just one step at a time. You cannot take two steps. You may take a small step. You may take a large step, but it's still one step. And it's consistent. Consistent. This walk is a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith. And as we have tried to point out from time to time, it is a supernatural walk. And as we get into the message this morning, you'll see how supernatural this really is. You know, in the day that we live, we have all kind of space oddities. We have things that we thought a few years ago were superhuman. We had people going to the moon, and now we find out that that's not superhuman. We had people doing space travel. We thought that was superhuman, but it's not superhuman. Men can do it. The Christian life is superhuman. I assure you it is. This is the reason why so many people get so despondent in their Christian life. This read why they throw in the towel so often. You see them coming to church for a while and they don't get the answers to their questions and their problems, so they just sort of throw in the towel and say, well, it's, I can't do it. Give up. The Christian life is very complicated. You know, we were saved, and we're so simple to be saved. It was so easy. In fact, there was nothing we could do of ourselves. It was all done for us. And we only had to really know and understand a couple of little simple truths that a small child, 3 or 4, maybe 5 years old, can understand. Now, most of us were a lot older than that when we understood it. You know, some of us are sort of retarded a little bit. I was 19 before I understood it. So I certainly include myself in that group. But I have talked to several children here in our church who were saved at a very early age, before 5. In fact, I talked to one this week that said that she was saved before 5. Both of my children say they were saved before 5. Salvation is very simple. Like I say, Jesus says, as far as the little children is concerned, He says, let them come to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Little children can be saved. I'm talking about in a positive way. They can actually trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. They can realize that they have done wrong and that they are sinful and that they need to be saved, and they can come to Jesus Christ and trust Him. But now, once we have done that, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. And then we come along and we read a verse of Scripture like the first verse in the 5th chapter here. Be ye therefore followers of God. Now the word followers there is not a very good translation. The Greek word there is the word for mimic. You know what to mimic somebody means, don't you? You're riding down town in the car and one child says something and the other child repeats it. One child is at the house and that child does something and the other child does exactly the same thing. And they keep on doing this and they keep on doing this, and finally the first child, or the child that's doing everything, and then the other one that is mimicking him, gets aggravated and they start fussing and fighting. Now, you know what mimic means. It means to do exactly the same thing. Now, he says, be ye therefore mimics of God. Imitate God. Do what God does. Now, friends, that is a big, big order. And it says, be ye, it really should read, become therefore imitators of God. You aren't, but become that. Now, if you have to become something, that means you aren't there. And when Paul's writing to these people that we call the book of Ephesians, he's saying, now you need to become imitators of God. God has set the standard. And the picture here is his father walking down the road, and he's about 7 foot tall, and here comes a little boy behind that may be 2 feet tall, and he's trying to step in the footsteps of his father. Well, no way he can make it. And dad's taking a long stride, just stretching him out as far as he can go. And here's the little boy. He's even jumping, trying to get over there to make that step, and can't make it. But God says, do it. This is not optional, friends. He says, become therefore imitators of God as dear children. In other words, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and you are born into the family of God, and God becomes your father, and you're his beloved, dear, they really should read, beloved child, then we are to imitate him. We are to do what he does. He told us, be ye holy as I am holy. Now, what is holy? That means righteous, just. That means you do the right thing all the time, every time. That means you are just in all of your actions. You're always fair in everything that you do. Never are unfair in your dealings with anyone. Always just and always righteous. Actually, always doing the right thing. Now, that's what he says. Now, we know over in 1 John chapter 3, beloved, now are we the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? What? Like him. When Jesus Christ appears up in heaven, up in the clouds, we're going to be changed. We're going to take on a glorified body, and we're going to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be perfect from then on out. We're going to do the right things. We're going to lose our old sin nature. But that's in the future. What about now? Well, he tells us to be like our Father. Children, be like your parents. Now, all children have some resemblance of their parents, don't they? Bless their hearts. Children are always imitating their parents. My father walked rather oddly or different from anybody. I could tell him by the way he walked. He could, you know, I could just see his feet and I could tell that was my dad. Well, someone one day said, you walk like your dad. And I thought, well, that's great. I walk like my dad. People know that I'm his son. Let me ask you something. Do people know by the way you walk that you're a child of God? They ought to. People ought to know they're God's children. And if we're imitators of him, we certainly will. We certainly will. He says, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children, and walk in what? Huh? Love. You know, there are five different words in the Word of God for love. Oh, yeah, I have a couple of tapes by Ed Wheat that describes these five loves. And if you haven't, if you're married and haven't listened to them, I would strongly urge you to do so. Strongly urge, or if you're planning on getting married, it's imperative. I just don't think you ought to get married till you listen to them, after having listened to them. If you're planning on it any time in the near future, you ought to get them. You can get them from Danny. He'll be glad to see that you get them. They're in our tape ministry. You can get them from him. The easy way to do it. But he says here to walk in love. Now, what does this word love mean? This is one of the five. And this is the highest kind of love that a person can have. It's divine love. It's a love that gives without expecting anything in return. It's the kind of love that gives and gives and gives and gives. Now, do you exercise that love toward anybody? You know, when we give to someone, so often we're expecting something in return for it. Now, there are other words in the Word of God that we can love in that kind of way. The second kind of love is a friendship type of love. It's a give and taking type of love, phileo love. You give and you do nice little things for someone and expect them to do something nice for you. And nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's good too. You men, folks, you always remembering your wife, you know. You always going by the store or somewhere and picking up some little happy for her and bringing it home for her, and she's not expecting it. You know, you're always doing this every once in a while, every time you can think about it or remember to do it. Or on an occasion of some kind, maybe it's an anniversary or a birthday or something nice. You do something nice, and then in turn, she turns around and does something real nice for you. Now, the young people do that more possibly than the older people, you know, those who are wooing and winning. And that's perfectly legitimate. In fact, we ought to do that. But here he says to love and love and love, and don't expect a thing in return. This is the kind of love that John was talking about in the third chapter of John in the 16th verse. When it says, God so loved the world, God looked down and God loved you, knowing that you had nothing that you could give to Him that He wanted or could desire or have. God loved you without expecting anything in return. And He loved you enough to send His Son to die on the cross and pay for your sin. Love gives. And He says to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. He looked down and He saw an enemy. He saw an alien. He saw someone in rebellion. He saw a wicked, vile sinner called Nep Clark. And why he loved, I don't know. All I know is he said he did. Boy, am I glad. Boy, am I glad. Because what do I have I could give to a God? An all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present God, an unchangeable God. What do I have? Nothing to give. And yet He loved me. Friends, He loved me. He loved me with that kind of love. He loved you too. He loved you and He gave Himself to die in your place to pay for your sin. Now we're to walk in love. We're to walk in love as Christ hath loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now if I am to be an imitator of God, and I am, well, if I'm going to imitate Him, I've got to know what He does. I've got to know how, and I'm to walk in love like this, then I've got to know how He loves. And I'm sitting here and I'm frustrated. Inside there is a desire to do it, but I can't. I want to love God. I want to serve Him. I want to do what He wants me to do. I want to please Him. But I don't find the power. I don't find the ability. And I'm so frustrated, I don't know what to do. So what do? We quit. We just say, I can remember this so vividly in my mind, just like it was yesterday. When I got to the place where I knew that I was to be holy as God was holy, that I was to be like Him, that I was to love like He did, I was to walk as He walked, I was to act like He would act, and I couldn't, and I couldn't, and I couldn't, even though I had tried and tried and tried and tried. Then I found a little truth. And I want you to turn with me this morning just a few pages toward the back of your Bible to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. A principle. Where you may become an imitator. Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, how did you receive Him? I remember how I received Him. I realized that I was lost. I realized that I was sinful. I realized that I was wicked and I deserved to go to hell. And I realized that Jesus Christ was the only way. And He was the way. And I trusted Him and Him alone to save me. I didn't trust myself to help Him. I didn't do anything of myself to help Him. He did it all. Well, He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You live the Christian life the same way you're saved. This is the reason why God says, be holy, be absolutely righteous, be absolutely just. Don't have one single solitary thought of bitterness at all that we saw last time. In verse, back to Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and all wrath and all anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from among you with all malice. These things, let it all be gone. I mean, there can't be any of this at all whatsoever under any circumstance. He says you can be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give place to the slanderer. Don't give ground to him. If you have been stealing, don't steal anymore. If you have labor with your hands, don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth. And we looked to Proverbs chapter 6, and we saw the things there that God hates. Oh, the sins, how that mouth can get overloaded so quick. And we're not going to let any of this be in our life at all whatsoever at any time. Well, why does God say all that? All right, turn with me to Psalms chapter 51. And let's take a lesson from the man after God's own heart. Let's learn something from the man that God was most pleased with besides His Son, the Lord Jesus, old David. Did David walk? Did he imitate the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his actions? Of course not. We know David has done many things that were wrong. Adultery, murder, and so on and so forth. In Psalms chapter 51, look at verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. David had sinned. And David had sinned willfully, knowing what he was doing was wrong when he did it. He planned it in his own mind. He sat there on top of his house and he looked down and he lusted. And he conceived in his mind a plan whereby he could have what he was lusting after. He was able to carry out his plan. Now, there are a lot of people who say Christians don't sin intentionally. So Christians don't plan sins. Those aren't honest Christians, is all I have to say. This man did. Well, since he planned the sin and it was a willful sin, there wasn't a sacrifice for it. You see, in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 4 and 5 and 6, we have sacrifices, or we have offerings for sin. One is for a trespass offering, one is for a sin offering. A sin offering was a sin of couldn't help it. Trespass offering was a sin of, excuse me, a sin offering was a sin of ignorance. You sin and you were ignorant. You didn't know when you did it, that it was wrong, but you did it. There was an offering for that. When we sin and we don't know it, later on we find out, we can offer they could offer the sin offering. The trespass offering was an offering where they couldn't help it. There are times when you sin and you can't help it. There was an offering they had for that. But what about the willful sin? No offering. And that's what David is talking about here. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Now, the burnt offering was a dedication offering. It was consecration for service. But David had sinned, and he had crawled off of the altar, so to speak. And God didn't delight in his burnt offering because he wasn't dedicated unto God. He had gone out and he had willfully sinned. But notice verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. Now what God wants is what? A broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And when God tells us to be holy, and we recognize and realize that we can't be holy, and the more you read the Word of God, the more you realize how unholy you really are. I realize how unholy I really am. As I look at my life in the light of the Word of God, I see how sinful and wicked I really and truly am. The more I look, the more I realize how wicked I am. And then when I begin to realize how wicked I am and how helpless I am and how hopeless I am and how I cannot do anything in my own strength and my own power, I can't offer myself as a burnt offering unto God. You see, he talks about here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us an offering. He's talking about the three Levitical offerings of Leviticus chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. The offering in Leviticus chapter 1 is the burnt offering, which is dedication or consecration for service. That would be the same thing today as Romans 12, 1 and 2. To present ourselves unto God. God, here I am. I'm presenting to you my body as a living sacrifice. Now, they presented a dead sacrifice. They took that animal there to the altar and they slit that animal's throat and they killed it. But God doesn't want us to slit our throats and to kill ourselves. He wants us to live for Him. Then there's the meal offering, there's the separation offering, there's the korban offering. It's that which is separated and dedicated unto God. Now, We are a burnt offering. We are dedicated, and we are also separated unto God. Now, if you are separated unto God, then you don't have to worry about what you are separated from. You don't have to worry about the negative. Just be separated to God. This is the important thing. When you are separated unto God, you don't have to worry about all the other things. They just slough off. Whereas you can slough some of the things off of your life and never be dedicated to God. Never be separated to Him. There are all kinds of people who quit smoking in the last few years because of a little sign on the side of the package. Well, so what of it? You know, saved people, unsaved people alike, they quit. There are people who quit drinking. There are people who quit cursing. There are people who quit doing all kinds of things. I can remember the day I quit cursing. I was in about the 8th grade. And we were out during the lunch time, and I said something real ugly. And the girl looked right at me, and she said, "Now, Clark, I don't believe I heard you say that. I'm ashamed of you." Well, I said, "No again." Well, I have probably very few times ever again. Well, you can quit all those things, but never be separated unto God. This is the thing, Lord, separation unto God. And then there's a third one, the peace offering. I say you can find these in Leviticus chapter 1, 2, and 3. The peace offering is abiding in the will of God. It's having the peace of God in your life. And when we are walking in love as Christ has loved us, and given Himself for us an offering. See, He was all these offerings. And a sacrifice. He died on the cross to pay for our sin to God. For a sweet-smelling savor. Propitiation. God was satisfied with Christ having been our peace offering. Having been our meal offering. And having been our burnt offering. God's satisfied with that. He's satisfied with Christ's death on the cross. Now, these things ought to be characteristic in our life. As we recognize how far from this we come, just like you, to be saved, you have to recognize how wicked and how sinful you are and how you are sinking and cannot save yourself at all or cannot help God save you. You're at the place where your heart is broken and is contrite. Where you realize, "God, I'm so helpless. God, I'm so hopeless. God, there's no... I'm at the dead end street. I'm at wit's end." And then we turn to Him and trust Him and learn to walk in His power. You see, when you can't do it yourself, when there's no hope and you're at the wit's end, then you've got to turn to somewhere else. You have to turn to somebody else. And you turn to God, the Holy Spirit, who dwells inside. You see, and then the Holy Spirit can give you the power to be an imitator of God. What happens so often, though, is you see, this is a constant walk. You know, once we trust Christ as a Savior, that's a once and for all thing. We can't trust Him and then decide we're not going to trust Him and trust Him and not going to trust Him. Once you've done it, it's over with. You don't have another choice in the matter. You can't untrust Him. You can't be unborn. Just like a child, when he's born in this world, he may get fed up with the world, but he can't decide, now, I just don't like this whole world. I believe I'm going to be unborn. He's stuck. He's here. He's here forever. Never will he ever be non-existence again. It doesn't matter whether he's living in his body or living out of his body. He's still living somewhere. And will always exist. Well, that's the way it is with the Christian life. I mean, with salvation. But the Christian life is different. You can crawl off the altar and back on and off and on and off and on and off and on. You can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and not walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and not walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, it's off and on business. But when we are walking as dear children, when we are loving as God loves, then we're experiencing a wonderful life. What's the greatest fruit or the greatest manifestation of God's divine love? Do you know what it is? What is the greatest manifestation of God's divine love? God so loved the world, He gave us air conditioning and heat. Is that His demonstration of His love? God so loved the world that He gave us cars and motorboats, clothes, houses, lands. God so loved the world, He what? Forgave. God demonstrated His love to you in that He forgives you all your sin. That is the greatest demonstration of love that a person can have and show to you. That's the way God demonstrates His love, the greatest, isn't it? And isn't it wonderful that He forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives? Aren't you glad that He doesn't love the way that we do? Aren't you so glad that He keeps on forgiving? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so He could forgive you of all your sin. Do you love anybody that way? Do you love anybody that way? That you keep on forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. Well, if we're going to be imitators of God as beloved children, then we're going to have to forgive and forgive and forgive. Yeah, and you say, well, I can't keep on forgiving forever. I just can't keep on forgiving forever. God does. God does. God does. Forgives forever. That's tall orders in it. Oh, that's something. You know, as we begin to look at this thing and we begin to see God's great love to us, and then we are to imitate that,
we'd have to have some extra power somewhere, wouldn't we? No way I can do this. No way in the world I could keep on forgiving somebody and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. I can't do it. I can for a while. I can forgive you maybe 10, 15, 20 times. But after a while, I get fed up. But through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, we can forgive and forgive and forgive. And we can walk in love as Christ has loved us. The same way that He loves us, then we can walk in that same love. And He gave Himself for us. We can give ourselves unto Him a burnt offering, whereby we have dedicated ourselves unto Him. That's sweet smell to God. When we are continuously dedicated, and the burnt offering, by the way, was offered twice a day. They killed an animal in the morning and one at night, and it took all day long to burn that animal up. And then at night, they had another one ready to go. They put him on the altar and start burning him. He burned all night long. Till 6 o'clock next morning, they had another one already ready, killed and ready to put on the altar. Burning all day long till 6 in the afternoon and continuously all the time. Continuous thing. Continuous dedication. Then the meal offering, which I said goes along with the burnt offering. And then abiding in God's will. Oh, just knowing that God's will is best for me. Knowing that God's will is perfect for me. That God loves me, and He's not going to ask me or tell me to do anything that would not be the very best for me. And be submissive to His will in everything in my life. And friends, that's when we will be the happiest. That's when we will be imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's when we will be most productive. And that's when we will be to the place where we are imitators of God. Father, we do thank You again this morning for Your dear Word. We thank You most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ that's revealed to us in Your Word. We thank You that You give us the instructions and then tell us how to fulfill them, and then give us the power to do it. Lord, we know how often we still try to do it in our own strength. It seems like that we'd learn sooner or later that we can't do it, and then we'd quit trying, but we know our old sin nature is there, and it just keeps on raising its old ugly head up and saying, oh, go ahead and try. You can do it. You can do it in your own strength. You've got to do it. But we thank You that through the Holy Spirit and His power, we can. And Lord, we just pray that we might, all who know Christ as our Savior, we might all be controlled by the Holy Spirit so He can produce this kind of love in our life that gives without expecting anything in return.